Proverbs 28, beginning in verse 10. Let us take heed to our hearts as we read and hear open these words. They are the words of God. Whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way, he himself will fall into his own pit. Okay, so be careful in what you try to get others to do. We're always either edifying others, which means building them up, or we're causing them to stumble. Especially when people are joking around and tell themselves they're just having fun, we're often not thinking about what we're getting others to do or provoking others to. And we cause them to stumble, to grumble before God, or to indulge in coarse speech, foul speech, or foul thinking, to look down upon others, or be jealous of others, to dishonor authority, to have common other 6-day thoughts and conversations and actions when it's God's holy day, on the Lord's day. Lots of ways in which we can very easily slip into trying to get others to do stuff with us, or just trying to get them to do stuff, making them go astray. The Lord warns us that if we're not careful about what effect that we are having on others, and especially when we're trying to get others to do stuff, and we're always, when we interact with one another, we're trying to get others to do stuff. He warns us that if we are causing others to go astray, that it will end up harming us. Second half of the verse, but the blameless will inherit good. Okay, so God has established this principle that you reap what you sow. Now, who gets to define what is good, Ezekiel? God defines what is good, right? So he's not saying the blameless will inherit whatever their flesh wishes they could have. Okay, so we don't interpret good as some misery that we have to go through on the front end, and the good reward as some worldly thing that we can accumulate for ourselves. Like those wicked at the beginning of Isaiah 58, who are like, why did we make ourselves miserable worshiping you, Lord, and you're not doing anything for us? And he's like, what do you think of me that you thought I would enjoy your being miserable? And your worship isn't really worship for me. You're just trying to beat me with your wicked fist to get the stuff that you actually want from me. You're not finding me a delight. Okay, so when it says the blameless will inherit good, it doesn't mean the blameless will never have trouble or never have pain. And yet, the Lord does give much joy and pleasure, and even to a large extent, especially when it's a whole society walking together according to God's law. He does cause that to result in prosperity. The rich man is wise in his own eyes. Emmett, what does it mean to be wise in your own eyes?
I think you're smart when you're not.
Okay, think you're smart when you're not. To think you are skilled at living and doing rightly and clever. In your own eyes, as opposed to in whose eyes, Victoria? It says the rich man is wise in his own eyes, as opposed to being wise in whose eyes? In who else's eyes? Right, he is wise in his own eyes, but that's okay. Well, he might be wise in Satan's eyes too. Beatrice, before God. Okay, and what is the beginning of wisdom, John? Do you remember? Carissa?
The fear of the Lord.
Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? So, what really matters is not what we think of ourselves. That's what we care about the most, sick and sadly enough, because we are twisted. Right? That was part of the temptation, especially for Adam, as he heard Satan tempt his wife and say, "Oh, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of the fruit, you will become like God, knowing good and evil." In other words, you will like become like God, determining for yourself what is good, determining for yourself what is evil. You get to be your own God. That's what Adam heard. The rich man is like his own God. Being wise in his own eyes is what matters to him. Verse 11, but the poor who has understanding searches him out. The idea there being that a poor man with understanding, again, remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding, is able to instruct the rich man who thought he was so wise. When the righteous rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. What does it mean when the wicked arise, Cassidy? When the wicked come to power, when the wicked are successful, when the wicked prosper and are in control and have wealth that allows them to be in control. Yes, Victoria.
I know one time when the men hid themselves.
When did the men hide themselves?
Well, it was Adam and Eve, so it was...
All right, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the Lord. This is different. This is a different kind of hide themselves. This is more like hunker down and brace for the worst. This actually, and this may be a little bit more trivial than the general concept of this, but recently, for instance, when, and not that any of the politicians that we have in America now are particularly good, but when the party that is determined to do the most wickedness came into control of the House of Representatives recently in the election, everyone, or lots of people, decided it's time to get their money out of their investments. They decided to hide themselves, as it were, and go into a defensive, self-protecting mode. And the stock market went... And, in fact, it's still declining today. It's been a while since we had a great victory by the righteous. But when the righteous do come into power, there's glory for everyone. Because God has designed that following His word is a means by which He gives blessing. We have to remember that everything that happens is according to His providence. Yes, He has established certain rules by which the world works, but He is always, personally, by the word of His power, upholding all things. Remember, He upholds all things by the word of His power, says the opening verses of Hebrews. And He has established the principle, you reap what you sow, so that His law and His word will be proven true and will be proven good over and over again, so that we, even out of our selfishness, would not want to do wrong. And even if we were selfish, if we were properly selfish, we'd want to do what is right. And one of the things that also means is that when a people want to do and collectively pursue what is wicked, that's a sign that God has given them over to a depraved mind. That's a sign that God has given them over to their sin. Because if a people just wanted to be prosperous, they would follow the principles of God's word. And when he allows them to expose and display their hatred for him by wanting what is wicked, even though it's self-destructive, that's a sign that a nation is under his wrath, under his judgment, just like our nation currently is. Yes, John?
There was a part in the Bible where this man was walking on the road, and then a couple robbers were hiding themselves and popped up and half killed him.
Okay, you are talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan, in which Jesus is answering the question, who is my neighbor? Rather than say, you know, when we're worshiping, rather than, you know, announcing something that you think is related, if you have a question, ask a question. Is that like this? But I am teaching you at these times, as is my job from the Lord. We'll have you teach sometimes when you get older, as you prepare to lead your own household. Yes, Ezekiel?
I need to go potty.
All right, well, we're almost done, so you can hold it. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you rule and overrule in all things. We pray that you would help us to be careful about the effect that we're having on others. We pray that you would help us to do what is right, that we would be blameless, that we might inherit good from you, not because of how well we do, but because even our doing what is right only comes as your gift through belonging to you in Jesus. So we pray that you would help us to hate our sin and trust in Jesus, that we would be joined to him, that you would produce in us both doing good and produce for us the good that comes from it. Lord, we ask that you would keep us from being wise in our own eyes, but that we would always keep coming back to you for understanding from your word. And we do pray, Lord, that each of us would seek to love you and honor you with all our heart, so that those whom you set under us in our households would rejoice. Please help me and Mom to trust you and love you and obey you, produce in us the fruit of your Spirit, so that the children would rejoice to be part of this house. We pray for our church, that you would help the elders so that the congregation would rejoice. We pray for our community and for our country, that you would raise up men who are faithful to you and your word to govern, so that the people in our community and the people in our country would rejoice. Have mercy on us, we pray. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name, and your children say, Amen.